Hey, welcome to another episode of the Ryan Ragone Show on Bleav Network and the Draft Network. We're here with my boy, Andre Drayton-Harris.
Thank you for having me, my guy.
My guy, man. They don't even know. This goes way, way back.
They feel me? They don't even know the half of it, for real.
I'm talking, man, what, 2018?
Like 2018. Yeah, the 2018-2019 season, yeah. That's some time back. Like, it's crazy thinking
that's
about it.
That's a long time,
bro. Yeah, like, it's 2023 now, bro. Like, that's crazy.
Well, no, man, I'm so glad, you know, to see where you are right now. You know, I wanted to bring you on and talk about your journey because, in a way, we have similar journeys. You know, we both transferred from a group five school, both very under-recruited, things like that. But, you know, that's a story that, you know, I like to tell, that, you know, underdog story and, you know, things that are going on for you right now, you know, preparing for the draft, things like that. So, you know, we'll go ahead and get right into it. You know, tell us, you know, where you're from, you know, how many siblings, you know, your family. Tell me about that.
So, yeah, I was born in Chickasha, Oklahoma. It's a small town, like 30 minutes from Oklahoma City. I was born there. I moved to Wichita, Kansas, like around fourth grade. Then I moved back to Oklahoma City around like my sophomore, after my freshman year. Finished out my years there at Putnam City North. And I got a brother. Me and my brother got the same mom and dad. And then I got three sisters. I got one on my mom's side, and then one on my two on my dad's side. Mm-hmm. I played football and basketball at Putnam City North in Oklahoma City, you know, Sam Bradford's High School. But then from there, I wasn't really too recruited. Like, honestly, like, shit, I wasn't really that raw. Like, I was straight. I was just better physically than everybody. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing that held me back, like, I didn't really have no technique. Like, I was playing left tackle in a right-handed stance. Like, so, like, my recruitment wasn't going nowhere for real. And I went to Arkansas State. It was kind of my best offer, but I wouldn't say I went there because of my best offer, because I had other offers and stuff. But my biggest thing was, like, I just felt like they were recruiting me from the jump. And, like, they showed me love. And I knew I'd have an opportunity to play there pretty quick. And so went there, spent 5 years there. You know, it was good. Had a lot of good relationships. Met a lot of people. You know, met Ryan there. You know, he knows what's up. You know, just got it out the mud. You know, Jonesboro, Arkansas. Like, you know what's
up. They don't know. But tell me, like, how was it growing up in Oklahoma City? You know, moving around and then playing football at the same time. You know, how did you get started playing football?
So my uncles. So I started. We all say Chickasha, Oklahoma is like a small ass town. And my uncle, he was the football star of the family. Like, he was highly recruited. He went to Chickasha High School, and he played linebacker. And he ended up breaking his ankle, like, in his senior season. And they, like, it messed him up. Like, he didn't get – all his offers got took away. Ended up having to go JUCO. Like, you know that story. You've heard it 1,000 times. And I remember just watching him. I used to want to be like him. Like, I used to want to do everything he wanted to do. Like, he was cool, man. He had all the vibes, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was just cool. And I just wanted to be like my uncle so bad. You know, he played football. I remember he was number 8. And I remember that's what they called him, Tank. And I used to call myself Lil Tank. And it was just funny because I wore number 8 too. Like, that was my first number I ever wore. And I used to just really want to be like him. So that was really like a big reason for why I started, honestly. And plus, I just had a love for it. You know, I was bigger than everybody. So it was kind of like, you know, I don't want to say I didn't have a choice, but it's like, come on, boy, like, you the biggest boy in the class. You better be on somebody's field. But I really loved it too. And then once I started getting into it, I was decent at first, but then I just started growing into it, getting better, progressively getting better. So I was always like, once I moved to Kansas with my dad, I would do all the little stuff. Like, all my Little League team growing up was fire. Like, we beat everybody. I would do all the little FBU things. I played for Team USA. Like, I know so many people just from, like, playing through those teams, you know, traveling around them. They're like AAU for, like, football, though. I did all that kind of stuff. And I used to play defensive line. I used to love defensive line. Like, I hated offensive line. Like, that's the funny part. Like, looking back, like, bro, I hated offensive line. Like, I used to have to play offensive line, but I used to only do it because I had to, but I never liked playing offensive line. I used to want to be a defensive end. Like, that was what I wanted to do. Now I got to Putnam City North when I played, got there my sophomore year. My coach was like, man, you're an O-lineman, bro. Like, you need to lock in with O-line, and that's going to make you some money. Like, that's where you want to be. I remember I just locked in with it and just did it. And and it all paid off, really. But, you know, growing up, I loved basketball. I still love basketball to this day. I wish I could have played in college.
I was going to ask about that because people don't know. You're a real hooper for, like.
Yeah.
Real, real hooper.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I really be hooping. Like, yeah. That's the thing. A lot of people don't know. Like, I know real hoopers. Like, I played basketball all up until I couldn't play no more. Like, if I could have played in college, I would have. You know, I can shoot. I can really shoot. Like, yeah, people watching this stuff, like, he's not really about that. But, like, I really hoop for real. Mm-hmm. But I love basketball. I really just love. Those are my main two sports. So, growing up, it was always football season from, June, July, all the way through December, whenever the season ended. And then right when that ended, basketball season, all the way until football season it started. So, it was just a cycle of football and basketball. Then in middle school, I ran track. So, it was really like football, track, basketball. Like, it was really crazy. But it was good growing up, you know, getting the experience, all those things. You know, sports has always been a part of my family and life. So, it was kind of destined for me to do it. And I just had a passion for it also.
So, in high school, you got recruited. How many offers did you have coming out of high school?
Total.
Yeah.
My first offer was from Eastern Kentucky University. It's the NAIA. That was my first offer. My second offer was from, my first offers, I can't even remember which order they came. But all my first three or four offers were NAIA and D2s. Like, I kid you not. And then I remember I got my first Division I offer was Howard. Howard offered me. So that's three, four. Howard offered me. And then I had New Mexico State, Louisiana Monroe, and Arkansas State. I had eight or seven offers total. No Power Fives. I got recruited by some. I got recruited by Oklahoma, a lot of the Big 12 schools. Like, that was it. Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, KU, Iowa State. I went on visits, unofficial visits all there, but none of them threw me any offers. Oklahoma State tried to offer me on signing day, but then the offensive line coach, he got, like, fired, like, right after that because he didn't bring in nobody. And then that was it. Like, I didn't really know nothing. Like, my second recruiting process was what I knew, like, a high recruiting process felt like. Like, when I was in the portal, I was like, okay, this was what it must feel like to be, like, a fourth star. You know what I'm saying? Because I had hella Power Fives hitting me up. But before that, nothing. No Power Fives, no Power Five offers. Like, none of that.
You know, so what's funny about you mentioning the portal and things like that, I don't think people understand how many players from Arkansas State transfer and go to, like, Power Five schools.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, play, like, actually, like, ball out, go and play. Like, Arkansas State has had so many transfers, so many dudes.
Hell yeah.
I mean, everywhere. It's insane. Like, Arkansas State might as well be a JUCO for other, you know, for Power Five schools.
You know what's funny? It's kind of like that same way. Remember how all the coaches would come in for, like, a year and then leave somewhere, like, Gus Malzahn, who was – Hugh Freeze, you know what I'm saying? Who was the other one? There was another one I went to, like, and they all end up at Auburn and Ole Miss, like, somehow. It's funny how that works. And then, like, you know, Coach Anderson, he was there for a little bit, and then he went on, like, it's like, I loved Arkansas State a lot. You know, I can never really talk bad, I don't want to say anything negative for Arkansas State. You know, they gave me my opportunity. You know, it's an entirely different staff, entire new staff deal. When I was there, but there's some good people there for sure. You know, I wish their players the best of luck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know, it's good for what it was. Like, I can't talk negative on a place that gave me a home when nobody else wanted me. You know, I can't act like I'm too good. You know, it was a great experience. You know, it introduced me to the world of college football. You know, I got to play Bama, got to play Georgia, you know, even though they obliterated us. It's still like games like that and stuff I get to tell my kids about. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a great experience.
No, it definitely was. Like, and what I will say is we had fun. Like,
yeah.
At Arkansas State, we had fun.
That's the thing. We definitely did make it fun.
Because there was really nothing else to do but hang out with each other. And, like, at other schools, like other places, there's a lot of stuff to do. But one, you're in Jonesboro, Arkansas. There ain't nothing out there. Two, like, it's a dry county. It's a dry county. If you do want to go party somewhere, you got to go.
You got to go take a trip. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, go drive an hour. You know that trip. And then come all the way back. Now, so we had fun, though. Like, the what was it? The stadium? What was that apartment complex called?
Stadium View.
Stadium View. Yeah, right across the street. Everybody go meet up at the pool. That was the coolest thing. Like, on days when nobody had class.
Yeah.
Single person you knew, I'm talking like not even just athletes, just every single person you knew was gonna be at Stadium View. Like that type of stuff was fun. Like I really enjoyed my time there because of stuff like that, because I didn't get that in like place like Miami, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like everything's like you got so many different things to do.
It's fast.
Yeah, you know, like a bunch of people doing every other thing, like not a lot of, you know, hanging out together.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you decided to transfer, how was that? Like, what made you decide, and you know, how was that decision?
So honestly, like, people don't believe me. People always be like, "Why you transfer?" Like, people always be like, "You had it all in plan." Like, you know, we only won two games. Like, they say I didn't like the coach. Like, it's always people always like try to assume I'm violent. But honestly, I like when the season ended. I went through, like, I started winning workouts and everything. Transferring was never really on my mind. Like, we went 2-10, and I was still getting ready for next season. Like, I never, like, I didn't, the season didn't end, and I was like, man, like, I remember talking to guys, like, shit, like, I can probably even say it now, like, I knew there was a chance that Groupie was probably going to leave. Like, yeah. I knew there was a chance that some guys are probably going to leave, you know what I'm saying? But for me, I remember talking to them, like, why y'all leaving? Like, y'all, let's kind of, like, come back, you know, get this going. It was never on my mind, but then it was just like, I don't know, it's like God put it on my heart, like, you destined for more. I really feel like what happened is, like, I started feeling stagnant, and I was like, I was going through workouts, I was doing the same winter workouts, and I was just like, this is going to be my sixth year of college, my last year of college, and I feel like it's been like this. Like, I started, you know, I got it out the mud, started going like this, but then I feel like my career just started doing this, like, it was going that the same path every day. Like, it was just becoming like monotonous. It was just becoming like repetitive. And that's what football is, but I was starting to lose the joy for it. But it was kind of just like, okay, here we go. Another workout, you know, another offseason, another season at Arkansas State. This just happens to be my last. So I was like, you know what? I really just want to take a chance on myself. Because honestly, just being real, I didn't know if I was going to get any Power 5 offers or nothing. Like, I remember when I was talking, man, I ain't going to put nobody out there, but I remember talking to some of my coaches and stuff when I told them I was changing that, man, what if you don't get no offers? Like, they was putting that in my head, like, I might go in the portal and not get no offers. Yeah. So I really just took a chance on myself, like, just truly just betting on myself, like, man, like, I really feel like I can make something happen. And then if not, I got to live with my decision. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I go in this portal and don't get no offers, or I go to a smaller school, like, I got to live with that shit. So...
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that. A coach there was like telling you that. There was a coach when I left, and I told him I was leaving, and I told him that I was going to Miami, because I already knew like where I was going to go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, you'd be lucky on your senior night, your senior year, to go down on one kickoff at Miami. Immediately, like, this person didn't believe in me like at all. So I was like, all right, cool. You know, it is what it is. They don't believe in me. So I'm definitely out of there if they don't think I'm good enough to even go down on one kickoff my senior year. And obviously, you know, we see how that went. I mean, immediately, you know, I was playing, balling, but stuff like that drives us, you know?
Yeah, hearing the doubt, bro, it really makes you want to prove people harder. Like, hearing people say, like, they don't know if I was going to make something, say, like,
But no, so tell me how it was your recruiting process when you're transferring. Why did you choose Duke?
Man, so I took an official out to UCLA, and I mean, it was what it was. I don't have nothing negative to say. It was a great official. It just wasn't the right fit. You know, I feel like it was kind of a mutual thing. Like, we knew, like, they probably wanted somebody else, and I knew I probably just needed to go somewhere else. I feel like I probably would have got distracted in LA. But I met some great people out there. Like, I met some dudes, some cool dudes. Like, I was talking to Raekwon O'Neal. Like, that's my dude. He ended up going there. But so I went out to UCLA. I took a visit out there. It was a great visit. And then after that, right after that, I took my official to Duke. And then when I got to Duke, you know, Coach Troop is there. And Coach Troop, that's my guy. Like, but I wasn't going to make my decision off a coach because, you know, you try to follow a coach somewhere and you go somewhere and get screwed over, boy. Like, you know how that goes. So I'm like, man, Coach Troop, but that's my guy, though. So he's like, man, just give us a chance because, honestly, Duke was nowhere on my radar. Like, when they first offered me, I was like, I don't know because, you know, they passed. Like, you know, Duke. before this past year, I'm like, come on now. But then I'm just like, something just told me, like, bro, just give him a chance. And Troop was like, man, just come check us out. Like, you got five officials. Come tap me with your boy. Like, I'm your guy. Like, just at least take an official here. And then, like, I can always go official, unofficial somewhere or figure out a way. Because, like, I knew I didn't want to try to take all my – I thought I wanted to take all my official visits. But then I really knew, like, I didn't – bro, I hate flying. Like, I hate getting on planes, going through that process. Like, I hate that. Yeah. So I'm like, man. So I went to Duke, and it was like, I kid you not. As soon as I got off, so when I got into LA, it's so funny how this works. So when I got off the plane in LA, it was cold in LA. Like it was cold. I started feeling sick. I ended up getting super sick. Was in a hospital for a little bit, but that's a story I'm gonna pull out like later, bro. But LA was crazy. It was cold, and I had a bad feeling when I got to LA. Like, I just knew like. This ain't where I'm meant to be. Like, you know, I'm very like, I ain't perfect, but you know, I put all my faith in God, like everything to do, like I let God guide me. And I just didn't feel in my spirit that I belonged to LA. Like that ain't where I needed to be. And so then, when I went to Duke, it was just beautiful. You've been to North Carolina before?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we played North Carolina and stuff.
Oh, like, so you've been to Durham. Like, you know how.
I've been in Durham. How many times?
Yeah, you have.
Probably like 8-9 times.
So you know how like that area looks, like it's beautiful. Yeah. And so I remember when I getting off the plane and driving and just, as soon as I got off the plane, I said, oh, this just feels like, it just felt like home. Like it's nothing like Oklahoma City. It's nothing like Arkansas at all. But I don't know, the people there were just so nice. Like, and then just walking around campus is just beautiful. It was just, I don't know, I just had a great feeling there. Just talking to Elko, talking to the coaches, you know, meeting the players, like, seeing that they had this hunger. Like, I can sense this hunger, like, this dog in them. Like, we tired of being at the bottom. Like, it just kind of felt like we was going through the same situation in different ways. Like, they coming off a season where they coming off their second season in a row of being a bottom dweller of the ACC. Mm-hmm. I'm coming off of basically being doubted, coming off a bottom dweller of Sunbelt school. You know, being a sleeper, you know, my entire career underdog. So it's like, we were just a perfect match. Like, y'all trying to go to the top and build this program. I'm trying to go to the top and prove that I can play in the Power 5 conference because people don't think I can do it. And at the same time, I want to win and help y'all get to where you're good to. So y'all help me get to where I'm trying to get to. I help y'all get to where y'all trying to get to. So it's kind of like a mutual thing. And I remember talking to the coaches. They kind of like, they understood it. Like, we know where you're trying to go. Like, we know what you're trying to do. We know your end goal is like, you know, getting into the league. But at the end of the day, I know none of that can happen if we don't win. So who knows? I go to Duke, don't play, or I go to Duke and we're trash. I wasted a year transferring, you know what I'm saying? So we just took it. I had a good feeling. I prayed on it. And then so I just told him, like, this is where you need to be. And I remember I committed and people were like, it was mixed reviews for sure.
Like, I remember I hit you up. I was like, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah. It was mixed reviews for sure, but
she my dog. Yeah, so I'm like, I'm trying to tell you, like, hey, bro, like, what's going on? And you're like, nah, bro, trust, like, it's gonna work. I'm like, okay, like, you do you. I'll see you in a few games.
Hey, I got so many messages that I have saved from just talking to dudes, like, bro, trust, like, people, like, bro, Duke, really? Because, bro, I had a business schedule with Purdue, Washington State. I mean, Purdue had just came off like an incredible year the year before, I'm pretty sure. Like, yeah. I had, like, bro, I'm talking to Mississippi State. Like, I was talking to so many teams, but like, it was like once I went to Duke, my mind was set on Duke. I didn't want to talk to nobody else. As soon as I committed there on Elko, I had them make me an edit and stuff. I said I was going to post it when I got back. And as soon as before I posted it and stuff, I literally called every coach. I texted and called every coach that offered me, you know, out of respect. I could have just, you know, cold turkey, but you never know. You know, relationships are everything, bro. You know how this life shit go, bro. Like, it ain't about what you know, it's about who you know. And I didn't want to burn no bridges. And plus, like, for me, I was super appreciative for every offer. Like, for a coach, like, you know, other people might view it different. It's just a business. For me, I took it as like a respect thing, you know, for a coach to take their time out and put their trust in to offer me a scholarship to come to their school, you know, like that was big to me. So I feel like the least I can do is hit up every school that, you know, offer me and at least, you know, tell them like, hey, I'm going elsewhere. I appreciate the opportunity. And that's what I did. And I had mixed reviews of that. Like when I told there's, I ain't going to even air nobody up. But there was one school I called and I'm like, yo, I'm like, what's up, coach? Can I talk to you? I hit him up. He's like, yeah, call me. So what's going on? I said, so, you know, I took my official visit to Duke this weekend. And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, it was great. And, you know, I decided that I think that's where I'm going to go. So it just feels like the right fit. He said, really? You serious? I said, yeah. He said, wow, good luck. Hung up in my face.
Damn.
Ryan, cold, hung up in my, like, it was one of those, like, I'm looking at my phone, yo, hung up, like, I'm looking at it, like, my phone tripping? Bro, hung up dead on my face, like, it was like that, but, I mean, shit, it hit me how real it was, and it really hit me, like, when I knew it was a good decision, like, I've been knew it was a good decision, but the conclusion was, like, last week, our equipment manager hit us up, he's like, send us your ring sizes, and I'm like, you feel me? So it's like, yeah. You feel me? Like, it's like, yeah, yes, sir. Everything worked out like how, like, to end on that note, to end my college career on that note, however else everything plays out, I'm going to be at peace because I took it better myself and I feel like I made the right decision.
100%. Well, so right now, I wanted to ask you, you know, because we got a few of my guys over there, you know, just like, you know, strength coach Fearly. How was that? How did you like him over there?
Hey, he's a maniac.
He'll tell you himself. He's a maniac. He'll admit it.
Bro, Feely is my guy, but he is crazy. So Feely is like, how can I explain Feely?
Hold on, he's that crazy uncle. Like sometimes you so like enough of him, but you still love him. But like,
Feely's like, how can I? I'm trying to think of the perfect analogy to explain Coach Feely. He's like being on a roller coaster that you like. So you're scared of this roller coaster and you don't want to get on it because you know how scary it is. And then you get on that roller coaster and then you're like terrified. But then you're like, oh my gosh, like it just has that, like, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, y'all, you were the talking to you about how his workouts were going to be was like watching that roller coaster, like, I'm scared of that. And then you get on it and you're like, oh my God, what the, like, you feel me? Like, no way.
But you're like, oh my, I'm doing it. I did it.
Yeah, like, I'm doing it and this is fun. But oh my God, this is scary, but this is fun. You know what I'm saying? So like, Feely is like, he's like watching a scary movie by yourself at 2 a.m. Like, I can't.
But it ends up being a great movie.
Man, hey, that's what I'm saying. Like, Feely's the dude, but like, you better have your mind right. Like, he's going to get you right. Like, bro, the stuff we did with Coach Feely this summer, like, we ain't even finna talk numbers when we did, because we both know what we did with him.
Yes, exactly. But
if you know, bro, if you really want to, he's going to break that mental barrier in your mind where you just feel like you can't, like, there's no workout I'm afraid of now. Like, there's no workout where I'm like,
exactly.
I don't know. Like, bro, I went through off season.
Me and my boys talk, and we're talking about a workout that's about to be hard or whatever, and we're like, dude, we did blah, blah, blah with Feely. Like, this is nothing.
Not worried about no workout. Like, there's no workout that can scare me. I did an entire offseason with Feely, bro. Like, what's the hard workout?
Right, exactly. He would make them workouts to where you're like, dude, I don't know if I want to do this anymore for real. Like, I truly don't know if I want to do this.
Hey, you know the test day, I'm talking about, that had me the night before. I'm talking about,
I couldn't even sleep. You were just like, you couldn't sleep because you're up all night thinking about it.
I'm really thinking about, bro, I don't want to go to sleep right now because when I wake up, I'm literally going to hell.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like, I'm in a 7 o'clock group and I'm going to wake up at 6 a.m. or 5:30 whenever I wake up. And I'm going to go to the facility, and I know I'm going to help. And then another thing, you know, even his – it ain't just the running that gets you. His lifts will kill you. Like, it ain't like, you know, some strength coaches is like, okay, conditioning is over. Woo. The lifts are just as hard. So, like,
you were walking to the weight room. The hardest parts.
You were walking to the weight room.
Yeah, that days you would do the weight room and then have to go hit the track or go condition, then you're like, oh, hell no.
Bro, Ryan – we would walk into the weight room, and the way our stuff is set up was like, Before I had my parking pass, I had to walk through the tunnel. And whichever way you come through, the weight room is like, when you first walk into the facility, it's like you can walk straight and you can see the weight room, or you can go and then turn into the weight room. So it's not like, I mean, into the locker room. So it's not, you have to go into this general area before you go in the locker room. And when I say as soon as you walk into the facility, all you hear is, you just hear bloody murder, bro.
Screaming, like, the whole lift.
You feel me? And you like, bro, you walk in with somebody, with my guy Speedy, that's my roommate. I'm with him. I'm like, dog, I don't know what they doing, but I do not want to do
it's
it.
Like that every single morning, it's like, ah!
You just hear screaming.
There's not a workout where you're not screaming. Or like the
bro,
guy.
And then doing. Like, Phoebe gonna make you scream, bro. And then like, I'm looking around, like, I would try to, like, I would peek and act like I'm going to get snacked, but I really just try to peek what they ended up doing. And I was like, I'll like peek around the corner and be looking in the weight room, and I'll be seeing what they doing. I'm watching somebody get like low. You know how Phoebe is in those squats, like, your ass better be damn near touching the ground on those squats. I'm watching somebody with 5-6 plates on their back, ass on the ground. You feel me? Like 5 reps. I'm like, oh yeah, it's real today. It's real today.
But hey, I'm not gonna lie, I got strong with Feely. I hit the most weight I ever hit with Feely.
Me too, bro.
I mean, I was lifting a lot. I think my max squat 560. It was something up there. It was something up there, but man, I earned that stuff right there. I mean, right. I earned
that. Congratulations, PRs. Like, PRs get him hype.
Oh, yeah. Like, he loves that stuff. PRs is his favorite thing, which, I mean, like most strength coaches, you know, they love when people PR because, you know, shows how hard they've been working, shows that their program's, you know, good, this and that. But no, yeah, Philly's a dude. But tell me how, you know, obviously your season went great. The experience was well. Tell me right now about your training and how that's going, how you're preparing for your pro day coming up.
Yeah, so right now I'm in Frisco, Texas. I'm training with PMST, Performance Medicine and Sports Therapy. I'm training at that facility. I was training him, John. I can't think of his last name. It's John. He's Legend Sports Performance. Great. I mean, he's been getting me right from my first day to now, like, my numbers are night and day. Like, he's getting me right. So I'm ready for – I feel like if I have Friday next week, I could go and be good. So the fact that I know I have a month and a week and some, this just makes me – it just encourages me more, you know, to just go harder and just press through this final, you know, press. And so right now I'm just training. You know, I got physical therapy, massage therapy. You know, we got a chirotherapy, like, any type of body maintenance you need is there. We got training. I got a position coach, LT2, Logan Tully Tillman, training with him, you know, working all 5 positions, you know, got to meet some NFL guys, you know, like Ed Ingram from the Vikings been coming up there training with us. So getting that NFL experience, training with guys who are in the league and playing. Yep. It, you know, the guys I'm training with, you know, I have some great guys, you know, Blake, Tyron, Danny. We got some good guys. So it's everything's looking good. Like, my biggest thing has been adjusting to, like, the free time, you know, because I go to the facility around 8:30. I get done with everything around, like, 2, unless I have something scheduled around 3, and then around 4 or so, like, when I get back, it's like, damn, now what? Because, you know, usually you used to have a class or a meeting or something, but now it's like, you a pro, so you gotta figure out ways to be productive, you know what I'm saying? I started, like, a business YouTube channel.
I saw that. Yeah. I actually watched that video.
Word?
Yeah, I actually watched it. Come on now.
Thoughts? What's your thoughts?
I liked it. It was cool. I was like, dang, I didn't know Dre, you know, was really into not stuff like that, but one, could do videos like this. Two, was interested in like YouTube, creating a channel, things like that. It really took me by surprise. Like, big time. I was like, oh, great. Like,
hey, that's so funny because a lot of people thought I was hacked, like, when I was posting on my Instagram. So I posted on my Instagram, and then I had a massage. And when I get out of massage, my phone's like, hell of notifications. It was on Do Not Disturb. People's like, yo, you hacked? Like, damn, bro, how you get hacked? I'm like, no, that's me. And like, what you mean? I'm like, bro, like, I posted, like, the video, like, that's me promoting my second account, like, my YouTube channel. They're like, bro, that don't even sound like you in a video. I said, I know. I hired somebody, a voiceover actor, to read the script I made. So then I didn't want no bias towards my page. Like, I didn't want people to watch my page and be like, that's a black man with dreads and earrings. Like, he don't know what he's talking about. You know what I'm saying? Or I got slang when I talk. So I wanted it to sound, I could talk professional. You know what I mean? But I wanted it to be like, when you watch that
very, video. Very automated because of the type of business tech, like videos you're watching or you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want somebody to hear it and hear somebody talking about some, hey, all right, so what's up, y'all? Today, like, you feel me? As soon as somebody hear that, they closing out.
The automated voice that you chose to do was a perfect one. Like, it went very good with the video.
Mm-hmm.
It was very good and made it, like, again, like, not that it wasn't professional, but, like, it made it, I mean, when you're talking about AI and things like that, like, it kind of worked perfectly, like the tone of voice and everything, thinking of AI, thinking of technology and business, like that was like a perfect mix in for it.
I appreciate that. Yeah, man. So my biggest thing was, so when it comes to AI and tech, you know, I'm a business major, but before I went to business, when I was at Arkansas State, I was originally computer information and technology, but I had to change because, you know, Arkansas State, we practiced in the afternoon, like team meeting started at 2:30. So that's when the classes started. At Duke, we practiced in the morning. So I was forced to change my major because I literally just couldn't go to the classes.
Yeah.
And so, but when it comes to like the YouTube stuff, I always kind of wanted to do a YouTube channel, but I didn't want to do like, I don't have nothing against it, but I didn't want to do a personality channel. Like, I didn't want to like vlog or like, I didn't want to like just put me out there. Like, I don't know, because I do that enough. Like, I'm cool with the spotlight, but I don't like the spotlight. Like, attention kind of comes just, I don't beg for it. You know, a lot of people beg for attention. A lot of people love the attention and want attention. Me personally, it comes naturally just because of my personality and just how I carry myself. You know, I'm very confident, but like, I really like being in the shadows. Like, I really want to like, that's why I wanted to make it like a YouTube page. That's like my thoughts and my interests and my passions. But not me, not my brand, not my face, not Dre. So I don't want people to support it because it's Dre, and I don't want people to not support it because it's Dre. I want people to support the channel because I want people to support the channel because they like the content, or I want them to not support it because they don't like this content. Either. So I want them to tap in and like it because like they're watching, like, man, this is a good video. I don't want no bias, like, man, this is Dre video. He don't know what he's talking about, or this is Dre video. I'm only gonna watch it because of this. Like, no, I want it to be because like you like the content or you don't.
100%. No, I did like it though. That it was cool. It was cool to learn that side of things and hear more information about it because I've been interested in things like that.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's big, bro. That AI stuff is huge. But that's a whole nother conversation for another time.
Well, to end this off, I always ask each guest at the end of it, if there's one piece of advice you could give to anybody out there, could be about anything, about life, football, does not matter, business, anything, what would that piece of advice be?
This is the most cliche, but you got to realize why it's so cliche. But if this is the most cliche advice that somebody will probably, everybody has always said this. But when I say this, I'm not saying this as in a cliche, like believe in yourself. But when I say believe in yourself, truly believe in yourself. Never put no, so listen. So if you tell yourself you can't do something, you already can't do it before you even try to do it. Even if you tell yourself you can't do it, but you're like, I can't do it, but I'm gonna try to do it, you're gonna fail. Why would you not go into the mindset that you can do anything until you figure out you can? So my biggest thing is to believe, and even if you don't, keep trying. Like, truly just believe in yourself. Like, I got this far from believing in myself, bro. I had no Power Five offers coming out of college. I was fat, out of shape. Like, there was no way I was gonna be a tackle. Like, I remember, like, I've had so many, like, I'm not gonna get into that. Oh, then they told me I can't do this. Like, y'all know how that story goes by now. But truly believe in yourself, bro. And don't just believe in yourself. Like, I believe in myself. Like, really within, accept and believe in yourself. And don't hate yourself. Don't be mad at yourself if you made mistakes. Like, whatever you're doing, whether it's business, sports, athletics, like, whatever you're doing, bro, wherever you wanna go, believe you can do it. Like, bro, you can do anything in this world. Like, whether you want to make hella money, like, it's so much money and so many people in this world, like, you got to just rise above because there's so many people who have dreams and they literally gave up on them because of their own thoughts. You can only go as far as your mind tells you you can go. You can't run. How does somebody know that they can run 10 miles if you tell somebody, yo, bro, I need you to run 10 miles, how would they know they can run 10 miles if they never even tried it? Mm-hmm. It sounds crazy. So, like, the first person to run a 100-mile marathon, so when somebody backed it up, somebody was like, bro, there's no way you can run a 100-mile marathon. They didn't know until they did it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's the only advice I can really give, right? That's what I live by. Like, whatever you do, bro, believe in yourself. Like, because you can only do what you think you can do. Like, whatever you think you can't do, you can't. Mm-hmm. Like, if you believe you can't do it, you can't do it. So, whatever, if you don't believe, if you can't, if you say you can't do it, you can't.
I agree.
But if you say you can, you can. Like, it's really, that's really the simple keys of life. And when people say it your whole life, because it's really like, that's the magic. Like, it's really simple, bro. It's really, hey, you know it, bro. Like, yeah. You believe in yourself. I remember everybody, man, listen, Ryan, when he said he was transferring, I tell y'all, bro, there were so many people on Arkansas State team who was like, bro, where is he about to go? Like, come on, bro. Like, he ain't finna go nowhere big. He ain't finna go nowhere big. Coach, even Coach, he gonna go somewhere smaller. He not going to no Power Five.
Yep.
Then he goes Power Five to Miami. He ain't gonna play. I bet he just going there. He just gonna be on the bench. Mm-hmm. Now he playing. Now what? You know what I'm saying? Ryan believed in himself. You can never believe, bro. We are in a matrix, bro. Like, nothing is real. Social media is not real. You are in your own world, bro. You're your own main character. Everybody else is NPCs, bro.
It's crazy. The people that you think closest to you would believe in you. And they might say something, but deep down, they truly don't. That's why you also have to just put that faith in yourself, because nobody else is going to have it for you.
Exactly, bro. So that's all I can leave you on with, man. Believe in yourself, man. I don't know if everybody religious, but the people who are, man, and if you're not, man, get with God, man. Trust God. The Lord is going to guide your heart, man, make you make the right decisions. That's what we need, man. The world needs God, man. The world needs Jesus. Well, and I ain't really trying to push the religious agenda, but, man, this world is crazy. Everybody needs some guidance, and they need the Savior.
Amen. Amen to that, brother. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate everybody watching, and we'll see y'all next time.
Appreciate you, my boy.